Interviews on The Fan are presented by the Honey Smoked Fish Company.
Honey Smoked Salmon from the Honey Smoked Fish Company is now available at your favorite Walmart.
That's probably pretty good, Cody. I mean, how many walls can you sell?
You need to get out more, Mac.
What?
Honey Smoked Salmon, now available at Walmart.
So they don't sell walls.
Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Sun Power Sports, Colorado's largest ATV and motorcycle dealer. We are going right to the phones, and we are pleased to be joined by the executive director of Colorado Trout Unlimited, David Nickum. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's been great. I hope you've got to listen to some of the early segments, especially that first one with Kirk Dieter. I know how heavily involved he is with you guys, and that just a tremendous segment with him.
Absolutely. I did get to hear him, and we've been so happy to have Kirk on board with the TU family. He's doing great things with Trout Magazine and really adding a lot of value to what we're about.
Yeah, he really does, and he's just so genuine. I mean, I've just known him for many years. I want to start out by telling people a little bit about Trout Unlimited. I know we're going to talk about some other things, but I'm a huge supporter of all the affinity groups, David, whether it's Trout Unlimited or Pheasants Forever or the Elk Foundation or the Walleye Club or the Bass Clubs, because the sportsmen need, in today's political environment, sportsmen need a good voice. But people need to understand the mission and what these different organizations do and how they're involved. I think the guy walking the street a lot of times hears Trout Unlimited and he thinks it's a fly fishing club. And while most of your members, or a huge majority of them, are fly fishermen, that's not necessarily your mission, is it?
No. Certainly who we are fishermen, and especially here in Colorado, the bulk of them fly fishers. But what we're really about and what we do is conservation, trying to take care of the fish. And if we do that, our belief is that the fishing is going to take care of itself. We'll make fishing better by investing in the habitat, by working on making the fisheries stronger. And that means on-the-ground projects, means being a voice. You were talking earlier about how important it is for all of us that hunt and fish to get involved in ways, you know, with our affinity groups to make sure that voice is being heard. And that's more important than ever these days. And as well as trying to reach out to the next generation. You know, we have some great youth ed programs with our chapters as well.
Well, and everybody who listens to this show knows I'm virtually evangelistic about getting youth outdoors. We used to have a saying, buy them a tackle box, not an Xbox. It's just, I think the value system and the bonding and memories you create with family and friends in an outdoor environment, whether it's fishing, hunting, camping, there's nothing else that parallels that experience.
Absolutely. And you know, as a parent myself, you know, some of my best memories with my kids are chances we've had to get out together, fishing, hiking, camping. That time outdoors is so precious, and I'm not sure that they always fully appreciate it at the time, but as they get older, I certainly know that I came to appreciate the time I spent with my father a lot more out on the water, and started to realize just how important that had been to me.
I couldn't agree more. First, let's say, what are the benefits of the guy listening right now who's thought about Trout Unlimited but has never joined? What are the benefits both to him, and what is he helping with?
Sure. So the first benefit is Trout Magazine. It's a quarterly magazine, and you know, these days, as you know, Terry, it's getting tougher and tougher in the publication business. I think Trout's one of the gold standard magazines now under Kirk Dieter's leadership, and so that is something you'll receive. You'll also receive an annual calendar. But I think most importantly, you get plugged in with a local chapter in your community. We've got 24 of them around the state of Colorado, and it's a place where you can go to hear programs about fishing and things going on in your community, to connect with other volunteers, to meet other people who you might go fishing with or who can give you advice on where they've been having success, and sort of creating that social bond amongst anglers, you know, to be able to share in that resource and share what we're learning and experiencing. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is giving back. By being a member of TU, you're giving back to that fishing resource that's given so much to all of us who enjoy it. And that's a chance to either as a volunteer or simply through your membership to be supporting on-the-ground projects, restoration of native trout, and education programs.
Now, why don't you share with us some of the projects that Colorado TU has done in the last few years around here?
Sure. One that just wrapped up last year that we had the chance to work with Parks and Wildlife, Denver Water, Grand County, and others up in Grand County is the Fraser Flats Project. It's on about a mile reach of the Fraser River that was very shallow and wide, basically dealing with the channel from how the river flows used to be before there were diversions in it. And it's right up near Tabernash by where the turnoff to Devil's Slum Ranch is, if you're familiar with that area. And it was a public-private partnership. About half of the area was private, and the other half was owned by a local water and sand district. It wasn't open to public angling, but as part of this restoration project, we were able to work with the other locals to improve about a mile of the stream and open up half of that for new public fishing access. The results were amazing. You know, in that movie, Field of Dreams, they talk about if you build it, they will come. Well, that was how it was for the fish at the Fraser Flats. Parks and Wildlife went out after the project was complete and sampled and found close to a fourfold increase in the numbers of brown trout that were in that reach of stream. So it was a real success story up there, and it was all about partnerships.
I might even be able to catch a fish with that kind of trout. You never know. Hey, you talked about public-private partnerships, and I know you guys do a lot of that. We've just gone through a bout of legislation. It's actually a two-year process that finally ended up in some successful legislation this year. How is your organization's take on what we saw take place here with the funding bills for Colorado Parks and Wildlife?
We were definitely supportive, thought it was much needed. As you know, Derry, it's been since 2006 since there was a last fee increase on residents here in the state. And we've seen inflation cut into the value of that by about 30% since then. And you know, nobody obviously likes paying more for things, but at the end of the day, if you know that that investment's going to come back and benefit the things you value, it's a good investment to make. And we're not talking about a lot of money. It's about an $8 increase on most resident license types. And one thing that I think is a great addition is they've added the ability to have a youth license for those 16, 17-year-olds, folks who in the past had to start getting an adult fishing license but can get a discounted $8 license under the new bill. So hopefully that'll give some encouragement to our young people to stay involved as they transition from having the free license as a kid to towards adulthood. But it's much needed, and it's going to go into a lot of key things. We were talking about access on the Fraser Flats. You know, Parks and Wildlife provides a lot of access through leases, and the reality is they need funding to be able to continue to renew those and provide those for us if we're going to keep places to fish. They've got a lot of reservoirs for those who like to fish on flat water. I was looking through their list of some of the high-risk reservoirs that need maintenance and that without it are going to have to ultimately be drained down and closed. And it's some pretty big names. Alberta Park down in the San Luis Valley, Haviland Lake near Durango, Sylvan Lake over by Eagle, Terryall Reservoir are all high risk, and the kinds of places that if we don't invest in them, we're not going to have the chance to fish them.
Well, there's two reasons why people don't get into the outdoors. One is lack of knowing how to get started, and organizations like yours, this radio show, the people in the industry, Parks and Wildlife, we try to do educational things all the time, Kirk Dieter with his articles, to help give them the knowledge. But the second and probably the most limiting factor is access to places to go to fish or camp or hunt. With urbanization and people spreading and growing, it's been tougher, and it's just really, really necessary to make sure we preserve those resources. You know, another big factor in this is the hatchery systems, and I want to talk about that, but I think I'm going to put you on hold. I'd like to talk about what this bill has meant for our hatchery systems, and then also maybe get a few tips on where people could head out fishing in the next few days with this holiday coming up. Is that okay with you?
That sounds great.
I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll come back to you in just a few minutes. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Sun Power Sports, Colorado's largest ATV and motorcycle dealer. We're going right back to the phones. We're talking to David Nickum, the executive director of Colorado's Trout Unlimited. And David, when we left, we had talked about the necessary increases that they needed and how important it was to maintain access for our outdoor people with parks and wildlife. And I agree with you. I think it was past due. I don't like paying anymore either, but I don't want to give up access and the ability for not only myself to enjoy the outdoors, but to maintain it as a legacy for my children and grandchildren. Another thing that they really were in need of upgrading were the hatcheries. What's your take on that?
You know, we've been blessed with a lot of great wild trout fisheries in Colorado, but the reality is we've got a lot of lakes, reservoirs, and rivers where wild trout aren't going to be successful reproducing, and we rely on those hatcheries to be able to have fishing there. So it's much needed to it's like any infrastructure. If you just don't invest in it over time, it is going to wear down and it's not going to serve you well. And as anglers, we need to invest back in those hatchery systems so they can continue to serve us well and give us quality fishing, whether it's high lakes, big reservoirs, or stocking rainbows in places like the Arkansas River.
Well, I think people don't necessarily understand, too, that we talked about, we had the hatchery people on the first hour. For people that missed it, I think sometimes people don't understand. It's not just the put-and-take fishery that I call the panfish of Colorado. Coming from the Midwest, we had lots of bluegills and crappies. We have those here, but they cycle, and they're not as extensive as they are there. But you can take a kid or a family out, just follow the stocking report, and there's a million ways you can catch those trout, and you get the experience of catching a fish and taking one home and eating it, and because they're a put and take. But they also, when we were talking to the hatchery people, whether it's the recovery of the greenback trout or whether it's breeding crosses with this Hoffer strain so that we can get self-producing whirling disease fish into some of these rivers, all those are part of their mission.
Absolutely. We've had a great chance to work with Parks and Wildlife. For example, you mentioned greenbacks on some of the restoration work there. And if it weren't for the folks down at the Mount Chavano hatchery by Salida, you know, that's where we're rearing those fish that can go out and help jumpstart those new populations.
Yeah, and there, you know, we're starting to see angling opportunities. You know, for a while, we thought we had recovered the greenback, and we found out they weren't too true. And then we've now seemed to have a very good strain of greenbacks. And not only are we recovering a fish that may have been lost forever, but there's already some angling opportunities, aren't there?
Absolutely. We're hoping to see more of them in the next couple of years. But right now, for folks who want to catch a greenback, best opportunity is to go up to Zimmerman Lake up the Poudre Canyon. It's about a 1 mile hike or so. I think you've been up there, Terry. But it's absolutely beautiful. And like a lot of the mountain lakes, the fishing sometimes is on, sometimes it's not, but it's you're not going to have a bad day in that kind of a setting for sure.
Oh, it's just gorgeous up there, and I've been up there a few times, and I almost always see a moose. You got to be a little careful of that, but it's truly pristine. We get to the top of Cameron Pass, and that's where it really is. And you're already at pretty high elevation. So if you're going to make that hike, it's only, like you said, about a mile, but it will tax you at elevation. I did a winter foray one time at the top of that pass to check whether there was ice or not on Joe Wright, which is just down below Zimmerman. And I walked out from my car, of course, had my snow gear on and things, and I realized the snow was quite a bit deeper than I thought. But I still walked back down, and on the way back in that, you know, thigh-deep snow, I thought I was just going to lay down and die there because I ran out of breath so quick. But so be in shape and be aware of things like lightning, too. That's very dangerous in Colorado, but it is beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this year more than ever, it's probably important to be thinking about getting a little bit higher, you know, and knowing how to be able to take advantage of those areas. Because with the drought conditions we've got, a lot of our larger rivers are going to be having pretty high temperatures and low flows, and it's going to push those of us who, at least, you know, if you're looking at having to release your fish by regulation or wanting to do it because that's your preference, you know, when you start getting those water temperatures in the upper 60s, it's tough. And time to start looking elsewhere.
And we've been hearing that message from almost everybody we've had on, that the Arkansas is in pretty good shape because they have a controlled flow. Some of the tailwaters are holding up. But, you know, the Platte, the Big Thompson down lower even, because it's the Poudre, some of these rivers, the temperatures are getting quite warm. And you know, at the very least, take a thermometer with you. And if the water is getting too warm, fish early and then maybe just do some exploring and learn the habits of the fish and watch and learn what's going on in the river. And it's not a good idea. Maybe we want to, and we may see some mandatory closures if it gets warm enough. I know over by the Yampa and some of those areas are talking about it. So if you were, we got a holiday weekend. That's the last thing I got for you. We're coming up. A lot of people are going out. A lot of people are going to have extra days off or they've combined some vacation time. Where are some of the places you would recommend maybe to go and do a little fishing the next few days?
Yeah, I was just up on the Arkansas, and it's fishing well. Yellow Sally's, golden stoneflies are starting to pick up, and I know a lot of folks up there are using, you know, sort of large dry flies with the dropper. I was doing a nymph rig and having a lot of luck with Prince Nymph trailing a pheasant tailor hares here. But as you said, it's got a great flow program, and that really is helping keep the fishing solid through there. So that's one good spot, and the Arkansas has so much public access from up at the top in Leadville on down through the canyons below Salida. There's tons of opportunities for public access all along there. And I would suggest to folks who haven't fished at the Rocky Mountain National Park. It's one of my favorite places to fish, and it's some place where if you're willing to earn your fishing a little bit, you know, willing to walk in a mile or two or even more in some cases, depending on your fitness and how much you're willing to do, you can really get some fantastic fishing, a chance to fish for dry flies, with dry flies, parachute atoms, elk hair, caddis. The fish are willing to rise to that kind of thing, fishing, whether you're fishing pockets or some of the high mountain lakes. So it's a lot of fun up there, and if you haven't fished it, it's a good place to hit. But the more you're willing to walk, the more you're going to be able to escape the holiday crowd, that's for sure.
And I hate to mention him twice in one show, but Steve Schweitzer has written a great book about Rocky Mountain National Park called The Fly Fisherman's Guide to Rocky Mountain National Park. This fantastic.
It's a great resource.
It really is, but Steve is already full of himself enough. We don't have to. He's already texted me because we mentioned his name on the show once, and then Kirk Dieter kind of gets on him because Steve's an Ohio State fan and Kirk's a Michigan guy, so we got to keep him in check. But no, all kidding aside, Steve's books are fantastic. That one and the Indian Peaks Wilderness one, if you want to do some high mountain fishing, those books are just incredible, incredible resources. I have to give him credit. He really, the photography in those books is fantastic, but just as a guide, they are. And I love Rocky Mountain National Park. One last thing you could do, too, is you could do some lake fishing, whether it's for trout or warm water species. They're not going to get as strained as some of the river fish.
Absolutely. And, if you are a fly fisher and haven't tried fly fishing for some of the warm water species, it's a great chance to do that. There's some excellent opportunities here in Colorado all along the Front Range.
All right. David, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. Real quick, if people want more information on TU.
If they want more information or to get involved, coloradotu.org is our website. Check it out, coloradotu.org.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Terry.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
Catch the fresh fish buzz with Honey Smoked Salmon from the Honey Smoked Fish Company. It's low in calories, a top 10 superfood, a protein, and it's a heart healthy alternative to energy drinks and snacks.
True, true.
Mac, what you doing with that oversized baseball glove?
Oh, this, Cody?
Are you trying to catch the fresh fish buzz again?
Maybe.
The Honey Smoked Fish Company. Available at Safeway, King Supers, Costco Business Centers, and now at Walmart.